Pump it up, Dr. Dre. Let's
Love
get it rolling.
Radio.
No.
Oh, yeah. Had to change it up a little
bit. Different. Hold on. Let's do something different here. I'm trying to get it. It's already kicking in. Here we go. Let's start this over. Here we go.
Got a little yin yang twins, y'all. Okay.
Talk is for just 12 minutes. Here we go. Here we go. What? Rob, you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
Sure, all our Saints fans out there are going to love that.
You know, it's a good song. I'm going to get you crunk a little bit. Oh, yeah. Here we go. welcome, of course, to Pocket Sports with 12th Man. That was a little different intro. You know, Rob, I think the show automatically kicks that in. I don't know what it is, but that's okay. We're going to have some fun. We're trying to switch it up.
Well, you do it, man. Hey, that's the hit intro right there, man. You got to leave it like that.
Yeah, we're going to keep that going for a couple weeks and have that going. Today is, of course, Tuesday, February the 5th. Special happy birthday out to my aunts and a lot of friends out there, too. It's a lot of fun things. But anyway, you are talking sports with the 12th man. I am Andre Peterson, joined by Robert Ford. As always, I got to check in with my co-host, Mr. Ford. How are you doing on this awesome evening?
Man, doing great, man. Got about a 3-mile run in earlier tonight, man. I'm ready to get this thing started, man. Let's get it rocking.
Good for you, man.
Got a lot to talk about, Doc.
Well, we do have a lot to talk about, and it's always pretty big. You know, we got to give you some love because your city was hosting the Super Bowl, so we're going to jump into that. A lot of fun topics, but once again, I got to set the stage, Rob, for those who want to call into the show. Give us your thoughts, pictures, all that fun stuff. The number to call into the show, it is 424-243-9519. And as always, we're going to throw out our Twitter handles. You want to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, the Twitter handle, it is at the number 12, THMAN Sports, as well as Facebook.com/12thmansports as well. So you got a lot of ways to hit us up. And let's get started on this great Tuesday. And, Rob, let's talk about it. A lot of things going on. How was the Super Bowl, sir?
Man, I tell you what, it was a fantastic week and an incredible week in New Orleans. There was so much going on from Sunday to Sunday, from the Sunday prior to the Super Bowl to this past Sunday. It was just activities all over the city, and it was just incredible. And I tell you what, ran into a lot of media people, ran into a lot of fans, and so many people was like, wow, Super Bowl should be here every year. And nobody does it better. Then we had a hiccup during the game where the power went out. And so it was, it was an unfortunate situation, but during the week, it was just an amazing week, and the fans, everyone was just so pleased, and the city of New Orleans did an incredible job. I'm not saying this as a biased New Orleanian, but the city did an incredible job all week long. Even the dictator had to give the city some love. So I think it's all but assuring that the Super Bowl will be back for New Orleans' tricentennial birthday in 2018.
Well, like you said, you know, obviously I think you guys did a great job. We can't do it every year in New Orleans, Rob. I'm just saying we have to have some diversity. Obviously San Francisco's going to have a new stadium that they were talking about having Super Bowl 50, so we'll see about that. But, you know, obviously, like you said,
understand we can't have it every year, but I was just relaying to you with a lot of people in the media that was here, as well as a lot of the fans. And so we had an opportunity to interact with a chance to interact with a lot of people.
Right.
And, even some friends and sources that I have within the NFL, and a lot of those people were saying the exact same thing.
Yeah, like I said, don't get me wrong. I'm impressed with what you guys did, too, and I'm a fan of that, too. So I just want to throw that out there, too. I'm sure you guys did a great job of hosting, as always. But continue your thoughts, right? I'm going to cut you off there.
But, yeah, I could understand that obviously we realize we can't have it every year. And I think if we did have it every year, I think the city could lose a little bit of its luster. So I think it's good that it'll move around a little bit. And but you know, just keep coming back every 4 to 5 years.
Gotcha. Good stuff. Well, let's get right into it. So obviously we're going to talk, before we give our congratulations to the Baltimore Ravens, let's talk about that game. And I'm sure a lot of our fans in the Bay Area, there's a lot of healing that needs to go on, but that's okay. We've got a couple days, 2 days to kind of get over that. And the biggest question that we're going to start off the show with is, did the refs get it right during the Super Bowl? And I would say if you're a 49er fan, of course that answer is going to be no. But obviously, we got to think about it. It was a very well-played game, and until the power outage, some things kind of reset. The Harbaugh Bowl was a very competitive game, but in the end, obviously, the Ravens kind of pulled it out. What do you think, sir? I'm sure there's a lot of – in any NFL game, there's some low calls that are going to go on and some calls that you kind of felt that could have gone against your team. But we always say don't let the game go in the hands of the refs. But what do you think? Did they get it right during this game, sir?
I had no problem with the officiating, and I think overall the officials let the players play. And I think as fans, that's what we want to see. And I know a lot of people are going to, you know, take heat to that fourth down play in the red zone where, you know, Jim Harbaugh and every 49er fan across the country was asking for a defensive hold. And if you really pay attention to that play, Michael Crabtree never got outside position to really warrant to get that defensive hold penalty. I think there's two guys fighting for the ball, and I think it was a great defensive play call by Dean Pease, the defensive coordinator for the Ravens, to force Kaepernick to get rid of the ball pretty quickly right there. So I think you got to tip your hats to the Ravens right there. It was a heck of a call. I think it was a good no call by the officials. And I'm going to say this. I was pulling for the 49ers. So for anybody that think I may be saying this biasedly, I actually wanted the 49ers to win the game, but I think it was a good no call by the officials not throwing the flag. I think the officials got it right by letting the players play, the game. So if Crabtree, we got a little bit more outside position on there, maybe he could have warranted a defensive hold. But I think it was a good no call, and I think the 49ers blew a lot of opportunities in the game, and that really hurt them in the end.
Yeah, I agree. It's funny whenever you're watching the game, too, and it seems like for some reason near the end, the 49ers kind of got a little tight. Kaepernick was running the ball so effectively earlier, and you kind of saw them kind of switch it up, and they were making him pass a little bit more. I don't know if that was because of what the Ravens were doing defensively, but so you're kind of hoping that Kaepernick was going to run the ball a little bit more. And, you know, like you said, it was just a great last call. You know, as a Falcon fan, maybe we can say that, you know, it's kind of karma, a little hold. I don't know. I doubt that. But you don't want that to come down to that last play. If you kind of handle your business earlier, maybe you don't have to come down to that particular play. But, you know, like I said, you know, I agree with you. It was a great no call. You know, great call by the Ravens. They made a nice little blitz play, making Kaepernick throw the ball a little quicker than he wanted to. And, you know, like you said, this is where if you're a big game player, you're going to step up. So, you know, like you said, give it out to the definitely shout out to the Ravens, sir.
Absolutely, yeah. And once again, we want to offer our congratulations to all the Baltimore Ravens fans across the country and to the Baltimore Ravens themselves. What an incredible season. And, you know, finished the regular season on shaky grounds, but just got hot at the right time and won 4 straight games in the playoffs. And I think if you look at overall the 4 victories, they were done in pretty impressive fashion in the way they won some of these ball games. And so congratulations to them. It seems as though they were a team of destiny here in this playoffs. So definitely we offer our congrats to Baltimore, State of Maryland, and all the Ravens fans across the country.
Now, I know we've been going back and forth about this. This is a big question. Joe Flacco gets the MVP, which is pretty impressive. The way he played, didn't have any interceptions in the postseason, so he was 11-0. Very impressed with his play. You know, and I'll give you credit. I mean, I know we were going back and forth if he is an elite quarterback. I mean, during this season, I mean, I guess you'd have to say he is. The biggest question now is going into free agency. What do you think is going to happen? We're thinking that he's going to get locked up on the Ravens, but do you think there's a shot that he's going to go out there and he's going to kind of test the market and kind of see, hey, there's a lot of teams that need quarterbacks, and I've kind of done it. So what do you think is going to be the next step for Flacco?
Well, I think this is what's going to happen here. Ideally, the Ravens and Joe Flacco would like to agree to a deal before free agency hits. But if they don't, the Ravens are going to franchise him. He will be with the Baltimore Ravens. There's no question about that. They have the franchise option there. So, I mean, at worst, you know, he will be have to sign a franchise tag. But he's looking for Drew Brees kind of contract. And, you know, after the performance he just had, led the team to the Super Bowl, he can almost get whatever he wants. So, you know, I'm pretty much assured that he's going to get somewhere close to what Drew Brees signed for or right on the nose.
Is he worth Drew Brees' money, Rob? What do you think about this?
Well, when you just won a Super Bowl, when it threw 11 touchdowns and zero INTs in the playoffs, you know, and you're having a parade today there in Baltimore, he's going to get whatever he wants. And so, obviously, you know, quarterbacks are going to get big contracts. I don't think it's, you know, has he had the career Drew Brees had? Maybe not, but, you know, he's coming off a Super Bowl victory, and I think he will get, you know, somewhere close to Drew Brees' money, if not get Drew Brees' money.
Gotcha. Keeping it going. If you want to throw out your congratulations, show us some love, we've got the numbers to throw out to you. The number is 424-243-9519. Show us, give us some feedback. We'd love to hear from you guys out there. Let's talk
yeah,
about
let us know if you think the officials got it right.
Yeah, definitely.
Feedback and let us know if you disagree with us or not.
Yeah, we're going to keep it going. Mr. Rava, now, some controversy. We're going to talk about the grades that were given to Beyonce. Some people said they weren't ready for that jelly. That's what kind of caused a lot of the blackouts. What grade would you give Miss Beyonce for her halftime performance?
Well, I give her a B, and I've talked to some people about this. I give her a B, and the only reason I'm going to give her a B, I think she did a solid job. And but I have seen her perform before at the Essence Music Festival in the same building in the Superdome a few years ago, and an amazing performance. And you know, and obviously that was probably a concert that lasted about an hour or so, as opposed to a halftime show which only lasted about 12 minutes. And so maybe she, you know, it's hard to probably put on a great show in 12 minutes, but I was expecting something that I hadn't seen before, something a little bit more elaborate. I like the stage setup, and but overall, I would have to say I would give her a B. And if those of you all think that her halftime show caused the power outage, that's actually not true. Beyonce's halftime show was on their own individual power circuits. It wasn't even ran through the Superdome power. And that's actually was not the cause of the power outage.
Gotcha. I'll give her a B, too, only because of the fact that, you know, I don't know. Could it, like you said, there's a little bit more that I think we expected out of that. You know, it's hard for 12 minutes, as mentioned. You know, definitely it was impressive for what she's able to do, but I don't know. I think it could have been a little bit more, but that's okay. You know, I'm not mad at her. And at least she sang live, didn't lip-sync, so that's a good thing. So, you know,
yeah.
Better for that, too.
Absolutely.
Let's keep it going. Kaepernick says the 49ers should have won. Man, was that sour grapes, Rob, or was that a little frustration? What do you think about this? You know, you didn't win the game, Kaepernick. You know, end of the day, shoulda, coulda, woulda, you know, but you didn't come through. So, you know, I'm sure it's motivation going into next year. What do you think?
Well, obviously, you know, he as a player has got to look back at that game and say, hey, we missed some opportunities and we made some mistakes in this game that kind of put ourselves in a hole. And so that's the way he's kind of looking at it. I mean, did they have opportunities to win this game? Absolutely. They had opportunities to win. 2, 3, 4 mistakes here and there could be a difference in that game. But obviously, you know, Baltimore didn't make as many mistakes as the 49ers did, and so that's why they won the game. And so that's just kind of my thoughts on it. You know, first play of the game, Michael Crabtree lines up in the wrong position, negates a 20-yard penalty. It backs the 49ers up. They have to punt. The Ravens go right down the field and go up 7-0. And plus, Kaepernick was not successful throwing the football in the red zone. I want to say it was either 0-for-7, 0-for-9, throwing
no,
in the red zone. And so you have to look at it. And I think Kaepernick overall played a pretty good game. He wasn't efficient in the red zone. And, of course, the one INT hurt him. And then you have the a fumble, of course, that hurt the 49ers as well. So, you know, turnovers, and then the Jacoby Jones kickoff return right out of halftime. I think that turned the lights out right there. And, man, that run, he put the lights out.
Yeah. Yep. I agree with you, Rob. And that's the thing too. You know, you could have said that you could have done some things differently, as you mentioned, a lot of opportunities. It's a team game, Rob. Ultimately, that's what it comes down to. And you know, obviously, the special teams didn't come through for the 49ers. A lot of opportunities. You know, a lot of momentum that went back and forth. And whenever the lights did go off, you know, they had the opportunity. They did a great job of coming back, but just didn't do enough, you know, to make plays near the end of the game. But, you know, like I said, it was a very entertaining Super Bowl. You know, it was a very well-played Super Bowl
And believe it or not, I think the power outage made the game a little bit more entertaining if you really look at it.
Yeah.
The Ravens was up 28-6 when the lights went out. And, you know, we just had to add a little Louisiana spice to it. And, you know, the game was about to get boring, so we had to add some spice to it. And, you know, the 49ers woke up and started playing.
There we go. I love it. I love how Rob said. Let's talk about this, Rob. So were there any power issues before the Super Bowl, to your knowledge?
Well, here's the deal on this. Of course, I've been to several events in the Superdome in my lifetime, and, you know, pre- and post-Katrina. I've never been to an event at the Superdome where the lights went out. And so it was just very weird for that to happen on Super Bowl Sunday, whether it be Essence Music Festival, whether it be Saints games, whether it be Sugar Bowls, whether it be NCAA Final Fours, BCS Championships. So the Superdome has hosted several events, several major events, even several Super Bowls. So it was very weird for something like that to happen. And now I will say, based on information that's coming out, the Superdome, about a month or two prior to the Super Bowl, they checked the electricity grids to make sure that everything was intact. They didn't want any mistakes. So they made some changes to the electrical grid about 6 weeks prior to the Super Bowl. And it makes me think maybe they shouldn't have touched anything.
Yeah.
And so maybe them trying to, you know, fix something maybe actually made things worse. I'm not sure. They're still doing some research on it. I'm pretty sure they'll get it fixed. Like I said, I think it was just one of those fluke things that's happened, just like sometimes at your home, your power could go out, maybe you got to reset that breaker or something. But it was just such an unfortunate event to happen during the Super Bowl, even though I think it made the game better. From that standpoint, I think it was a little embarrassing for the city of New Orleans. And the unfortunate thing is the weekend itself was very incredible.
Yeah. Well, like I said, you know, that's going to be something that it was a good change of pace, as you mentioned. I know I went to Facebook and just the comments are coming out. It was great. So, you know, we had some fun with it. You know, obviously we don't wish that to happen, and there's a lot of conspiracy theories that everyone's saying, but end of the day, it gave both teams.
Yeah, you have the one that the San Francisco techies got in there and turned the lights out to wake the team up, huh?
Turn off the lights! Yeah, it's crazy. We were having all kinds of fun.
Silicon Valley got in there, man, and messed with the grid.
little rolling blackouts going on again, but, you know, they had to bring some California love back to New Orleans, but it was good. So, you know, we'll keep that going, and hopefully for the future, we'll make sure that's taken care of. And, you know, like you said, you know.
Thankfully, it wasn't New Orleans' first Super Bowl. Thankfully, the city has a huge track record that obviously if it was the first Super Bowl, it would have really been a black eye.
Yeah, we're good. Once again, let's throw out some numbers. The number to call in the show, 424-243-9519. Had a lot of good commercials. Tell us what you thought about the Super Bowl. That was Super Bowl 47 is coming on, and we're going to keep it going. Got about 10 minutes, about 11 minutes or so left in the show, Rob. And let's preview the NFL draft. Now, if you're the 49ers and if you're the Ravens, I mean, there's a couple of things, and also your team. Let's head into, obviously, what's going on with this particular draft and what's kind of the strongest positions out there, Rob. And just some things about that. We'll kind of set the stage because we are excited about that with Senior Bowls and everything that's kind of passed. Let's start heading and start thinking about the NFL draft. I'm sure mock drafts are going to be prepared as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I don't know how much you've been able to look at my 2.0 mock draft. It was even posted on our Facebook page here some weeks ago here. But pretty soon here, you know, I got some Senior Bowl evaluations to do and some combine evaluations to do. So pretty soon I'll be coming out with my Robert Ford 3.0 NFL mock draft. But my 2.0 mock draft is out. You know, anybody want to call and get some information on where your team may be looking, I'm making offer some insight to you. So you may want to definitely call in 424-243-9519 or hit us up on Facebook, Talking Sports with the 12th Man, or on Twitter at 12th Man Sports if you guys want to hit us up for some draft information. Obviously, I still have the Kansas City Chiefs taking Geno Smith, the quarterback, at the number one position. I still think that I can't imagine the Chiefs not taking the quarterback to go back to, you know, to build this franchise with. Even though I don't think Geno Smith is the number one player in the draft, he's probably valued somewhere around 8 to 12. But for the Chiefs, they may just have to reach for a quarterback. I know they may consider Alex Smith here. But I almost think even if you go out and get a guy like Alex Smith, I think you may still need to bring in a young quarterback for the future.
Yeah, I think that's kind of like putting a Band-Aid on a deep cut, if you will, if you bring Alex Smith. And, you know, I think he's just a stopgap no matter what. You know, we'll see how that plays out. We've had a lot of weeks to prepare. Geno Smith, he's going to have a lot of pressure, Rob, because of the crop of quarterbacks that came last year, and that's almost not fair to him. But the RG3s, Angelos, even Russell Wilson, they kind of, you know, Brandon Whedon, you can name Ryan Tannehill, all the quarterbacks that performed well. So it is a lot of pressure for him, and I think he can, you know, he can perform well. As you mentioned, I don't think he's the number one pick, but maybe some things that can help, but he can respond to with pro coaching, getting his footwork prepared. And, you know, because going into the season, he had a phenomenal first couple of weeks, and he kind of, like, trailed off near the end.
Exactly, yeah. But I think as far as throwing the long ball, I think he has the potential of somebody like a Joe Flacco. You know, Joe Flacco might be the best long ball thrower in the NFL, and I think Geno Smith has that same kind of capability. And he's got good footwork, not quite the runner as a Kaepernick, Cam Newton, RG3, Russell Wilson, but he's got great footwork. He can extend plays, kind of in the mold of a Joe Flacco here. Geno Smith has good size, and like I said, very good accuracy. And I think a portion of the reason why he kind of tailed off at the end of the year, just don't think West Virginia was a very good team. And it didn't have great balance. I don't think it was all on him, but I think, you know, once he gets into these individual workouts, I think you'll see his ability start to show up.
What do you think this draft is deepest in? I mean, I've been doing some, you know, research, and some say it's pretty deep at the defensive end position, maybe a D tackle. You know, tell us what you think this particular draft, I don't know if you have this one in front of you, what do you think this draft is kind of deepest at if you're an NFL team?
Well, I think definitely, I think you hit it right on the head here. I think those tweener pass rushers, those 3-4 pass rusher outside linebacker defensive end types, there's an abundance of those guys in this draft. And I think there are an abundance of those tackles, defensive tackles in this draft as well. So I think if you're looking for a defensive line position, or if you're looking for those tweener pass rushers to play in that 3-4 defense, I think those are the deepest positions in this particular draft. Obviously, it's not a quarterback-heavy draft, so that's a little bit, you know, concerning for teams that really need quarterbacks. But like I said, if you're looking for any kind of defensive line or outside edge rushers for your 3-4 defense, then this is the draft for you.
Love it, love it. And as mentioned, everyone that's listening out to us in radio world, you know, if there's some players that you want us to focus on or different players you want us to talk about your team, definitely let us know, tweet us, call us, and we'll definitely give a quick scatter report on what you're looking for and whatnot, because that's what we do. That's Talking Sports. What we're doing, we're Talking Sports for 12 Men. Rob, I'm going to talk about two players and see if you have any info. I hope I'm not putting you on the spot here. They're running backs. One is our cat Lacey from Alabama, and I'm going to also pick Stephon Taylor from Stanford. Those are two interesting cats. If you have any information, obviously we can start with the Lacey guy. Eddie Lacey from Alabama is he the product of having that pretty dominant offensive line, or is that actually does he have some talent to move on to the next level?
Well, he's definitely an NFL player, and there won't be any first-round running backs in this draft. And so that's another position that you can say it's a little bit of a weak position here in this draft as well. This is probably the first time in many years we won't have any running backs going to first round. It's just not a first-round talent at running back in this draft. And as you see, more and more ball clubs are finding running backs in undrafted or later round picks. And you look at the kid from his name is it Alfred Morris, the running back from the Redskins this past year?
Alfred Morris.
Yeah, he's an undrafted running back, and he led all rookies in rushing this past season, and he was the second leading rusher in the league behind Adrian Peterson, and this is a kid that went undrafted. So I think teams, if they can find running backs that fit their scheme, fit their system, you don't necessarily have to always get those guys in the first round. But getting back to Eddie Lacy, he will be a third-round pick somewhere in that ballpark, fourth round, or maybe sneaking into the second round. And I think the same thing for Stephon at Stanford. I think both of these guys are middle-round grades in this draft. I think the kid from North Carolina will probably be the first running back taken in the draft here, but he will even be a second-round pick as well.
Patrick, we got a caller on the air, so let me grab this caller. Hello, caller. You are talking sports with Club M.
Hi, guys. This is Gina. I'm calling in from New Orleans.
Hello.
Hello, Gina. How are you?
I'm fine. I've really enjoyed listening to your show tonight, and I just wanted to tell you guys thank you for what you're doing. I've really enjoyed your conversation about the Super Bowl, and I know you guys have sort of switched gears onto the draft. And so my question is, I know, Robert, you are a Saints fan, and Andre, you are a Falcons fan. Do you guys see any potential talent with this class coming in to the NFL this year that could benefit both of your teams?
Well, absolutely. I think if you are a Saints fan, the Saints definitely need some defensive help here. And as we just mentioned, defensive line is a big strong point in this draft, and the Saints could use defensive tackles, we can use defensive ends, and we can use edge rushers. We can use all of those positions, and this draft is very strong at those positions. And I think even for the Falcons, you look at the tight end position, there's a possibility of Gonzalez retiring. You have Zach Ertz that can come in from Stanford and probably start from day one, and maybe Andre, you can even touch on some other positions that the Falcons could use as well.
Yeah, it's pretty ironic that we're actually going for the same probably players. Yeah, we need some defensive players. The D tackle is probably a big need for us. We're going to probably need some more linebackers too, Gina. I don't know if you care about that, but I'm going to talk about that as well. Also talking about the Saints, word on the street is that you guys have actually hired Rob Ryan as the new defensive coordinator for you guys to replace the fire Steve Spagnuolo. So I don't know if you want to talk about that. Gina, we want to thank you.
It's not confirmed yet, and there's numerous reports out there right now that we may have hired Rob Ryan, but there's also another report that the Saints are going to interview Todd Grantham, the defensive coordinator at the University of Georgia. We're going to interview him on Thursday and interview Rob Ryan on Friday. So I would just say stay tuned on that. Nothing is confirmed. There's kind of multiple reports out there right now. I guess we have to wait and see when the Saints actually make an official announcement.
I guess you're going to we're going to doubt to Adam Scheffler, huh, from ESPN that made that report, huh? That's what it's all about.
Yes,
Gina,
I guess right now we have to doubt.
Do you have anything else to say, Gina, or you want to show us some love as we get ready to wrap up the show?
No, that's it. You guys have definitely answered my question. I think if we do end up getting the Ryan guy as the coach, I don't think it would be a bad choice for us. So I'm just really excited about the opportunities going into next year for the Saints, who's got our coach back. We're going to make some changes on defense, which was one of our biggest weaknesses this year, this past season. So I feel really excited about the Saints moving forward. So who that? Go Saints.
Who that? We're going to New York and win the Super Bowl next year in the cold.
Love the confidence. Rob, we got about 40 seconds. Let's talk about the archive real quick, going to the OT portion real quick. Thank you, Gina.
Thanks for the call, Gina.
Thank you.
Okay. Once again, for those of you all who are listening, join us next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 Pacific. And once again, for our friends in Germany, make sure you tune in at 5 a.m. on Wednesday morning next week. We got a lot to talk about. We're going to be talking NFL draft probably all the way up until the draft. And, of course, we're about to get in the heart of the NBA and college basketball seasons as well. Anything you want to close out with, Andre?
No, as I said, we want to thank everyone for calling in. A lot of love, and keep listening to the OT portion. If you're at Chavez tomorrow, just click on the link, and you can continue to talk about college football, some NBA, and some baseball as well. See you guys next week.
Good night, people.
There it is. I love it. I love how you get that in, Rob, just before we cut off the show. But it's good. As mentioned, I like the call that Gina said because we got about 50 minutes, so let's still talk about some things. But it is ironic that you're, you know, a Saints fan. I'm a Falcon fan. I still got that jersey for you, too. Don't think I forgot about that. But
yeah, we need to change our pictures on Facebook. We got to put you in some Falcons gear and put me in some Saints gear.
Yeah, we'll definitely make that happen, too. We got to take some pictures. And I love how you posted some stuff about what's going on in definitely in New Orleans during the Super Bowl week, too. So you get some good pictures and some good videos as well. We always seem to – we don't have as much time as we'd like, so we try to fit a lot of stuff in. I don't want to switch gears, but real quick, actually, we should talk about some Lakers stuff. Met at World Peace actually saying that the Lakers are the best team, and we're asking if you agree with this particular statement. If we say this for next week, Rob, I'm sure we'll get, like, a lot of calls, but – I'm going to go on the limb to say, I don't know what Meta World Peace has been sniffing, maybe glue, I don't know. Maybe it's kind of a reverse psychology thing to kind of get them pumped up. They are not the best team, but I guess anything goes to try to get them to kind of get motivated to play. So, you know, maybe it's just a tactic to get them, you know, on the right track, I don't know.
Yeah, well, I think they are starting to seem like they, you know, maybe I've said this about two or three times this year where I think the Lakers are getting ready to turn a corner and then all of a sudden they go on a 5-6-game losing streak. So, you know, I'm going to go out on a limb and say it again. I think they're getting ready. I think they're turning a corner for the better. And I'm not a big Kobe Bryant fan, but I'm going to go ahead and say this. I think Kobe Bryant has been playing very unselfishly here in the last week or two, and I think that's what it's going to take for the Lakers to excel. If he's shooting the ball 30 to 40 times a game, shooting low field goal percentage, the Lakers are not going to be successful. But if he's getting these double-digit assist games, scoring 14 to 20 points, somewhere around there, getting everyone involved, I think that's when the Lakers can be dangerous. And I think he's finally starting to get it. He's got to get the ball to Gasol, Jameson, Artest, and, you know, Dwight Howard, Nash. And I think if they keep playing like that, they'll be a tough out. But I definitely don't think they're the best team in the NBA. And I definitely don't agree with that. I'm still looking at here a Miami Heat OKC Finals. I don't see anything that's going to make me change that that opinion as of right now.
It took him, 15 years to learn how to pass? No, I'm just joking. Kobe, I don't think a leopard changes his spots, Rob. We'll see how long this will last. Right now they're saying the right things. I think Kobe's going to eventually revert back to his old ways. And I'm not knocking the guy. I'm just saying that's just kind of, unless he really truly wants to change his game, I mean, it sort of could be done, but, very interesting. And I think, and we're going to talk about this one of our shows too, Rob, as far as, you know, fitting a player for your system or trying to impose your will on a system. I think a great coach is able to take the players and kind of adapt his system to the players that are there. You don't come in and say, well, you know, Paul Gasol's there and Dwight Howard, so I'm going to run a different system. It doesn't make any sense. You have the players already there, so you want to adapt your system to the players that are there as opposed to trying to force your will. So, I know Jerry Buss gave Mike D'Antoni the dreaded vote of confidence. End of the day, I don't think that's going to be a good move. So, that's my little two cents on that particular situation. I agree with you. Heat, OKC Finals, what it's still looking like going into the finals here.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about some college football. And this is pretty big because, obviously, signing day is tomorrow. National signing day is tomorrow, if you will. There's a nice little note about there's word on the street is that a Mr. Johnny Football is partying a little too much, and that's kind of the question. Do you think that's just him being a kid, being a teenager, enjoying college life? I don't know. If you want me to answer this first, Rob, I'm kind of like a little bit on the fence about this particular answer because – if you look at Colin Kaepernick, he went into and he was upset with the way he lost. He focused in, we're going to focus in, we're going to try to win next year. kind of took a different approach. Johnny Football, I mean, it's okay, you're in college, you're going to have fun, but I think next year is going to be really, really tough for him because, you know, teams got shape on you. They're going to go into, instead of being the hunters are going to be the hunted, so they're going to get a lot of teams' best games. So instead of from party, he needs to go back to go into the film study, kind of get better as a quarterback as opposed to kind of, you know, taking it easy. What do you think about this, sir?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think this is such a delicate subject here. You have to realize here the kid is a college student still. You know, I know he dispatched you as a redshirt freshman on the football field, which makes him a sophomore in a classroom. And so you're talking about a guy who's probably still about 19, 20 years old at the most. And but I just hope that you know, the partying doesn't get out of hand, and I think that's what hurt Ryan Leaf in the long run.
Yeah.
Ryan Leaf was an incredible, you know, NFL prospect, and one of the things I clearly remember, I don't know if you've heard this story before, but when it came down to the draft, the Colts had Peyton Manning and Ryan Leaf with the same draft grade, and you know, they had them both with equal draft grades, and they were having a tough decision on who to take, Peyton Manning or Ryan Leaf. So about a week before the draft, the coach interviewed both players, and they asked Peyton Manning, if we draft you with the number one pick and we pay you all of this money, what are you going to do? And Peyton Manning says, I'm going to go out and earn your money. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to study. I'm going to be the first one on the practice field. I'm going to earn your money. And they asked Ryan Leaf the same question, and Ryan Leaf says, I'm going to throw a party in Las Vegas. So who do you think they drafted number one?
Yeah, of course you drafted Peyton Manning. That was probably the most telltale sign right there of who to draft. Oh, man.
So, I mean, hopefully Johnny Football is there, because I think the kid is incredibly talented. I think it's still a little early to evaluate his draft prospect here. You know, you have to wonder, I think with the success of Russell Wilson and Drew Brees, I don't think people are going to give him such a low grade because of his height. And I think he's accurate with the football. He's pretty mobile. And it seems like the NFL is slowly going into this this spread option here. And you know, if that's the case, my early indications would think that whenever he comes out, he should be a first-round pick.
I'm just kind of nervous about that spread option, Rob, because if you're playing quarterback, and, you know, your quarterback's going to take a lot of hits. And if I'm teams, eventually, that's a lot of money for your quarterback. And eventually, there's some shots that if you were watching the Super Bowl, you know, a lot of times the end came down as, you know, popped Collins. I wouldn't know if I'd still want that to happen. But because I'm sure at the end of the day, they're going to say, hey, if he holds it, you pop him as hard as you can. So, you know, we'll see how long that's gonna last. But, you know, we'll see how that plays out. There is an evolution of the game, as we see. But, you know, like I said, it's definitely interesting to see and to hear what's going on. And like I said, I love that story, Rob, as far as, you know, Ron Leaf, we all know what happened with him. He ended up being a bust in the NFL, too. So maybe they need to learn how to answer the questions correctly with that.
Exactly.
we've got about 6 minutes or so left. Let's talk about who do you think the best recruiting class has been in the last 10 years in college football in honor of National Signing Day tomorrow, Rob. So I'm going to leave this up in your hands, my friend.
I'm going to go with the hated Alabama Crimson Tide. I'm going to go with their 2008 class is the best recruiting class in the last 10 years. Listen to some of the names. I'm just going to name a few. And it's 2008 Alabama recruiting class. Mark Barron, first-round pick. Julio Jones, first-round pick. Terrence Cody, key figure of the Baltimore Ravens. Marcel Darius, first-round pick. Dante Hightower, second-round pick. Mark Ingram, first-round pick. Barrett Jones, he's going to be coming out in this upcoming draft, so I kind of have a second-round grade on him right now. Courtney Upshaw. Those are just name a few of those names in that draft class. I mean, that was an incredible class. It'd be hard-pressed to find a better recruiting class, and look how those guys turn out. So I'm going to go with the Alabama 2008 class. Some of those guys have won two national titles, and all of them have won at least one, depending on what year they came out. And in Barrett Jones' case, I want to say he even won three. just because he'd been in school, stayed all the way to his fifth year, senior year. And so that's an incredible recruiting class right there. It'll be hard-pressed to find a better one.
I thought you were going to say LSU, Rob. That was pretty good how you pulled that one out, man. I thought you were going to, you know.
Oh, you know, I love my LSU Tigers, but I try to be objective here, you know, and call it like I see it as much as possible.
Very, very impressive, sir. I can't doubt that. That's a pretty good. Obviously, I'm happy about that draft because, you know, we drafted players from both teams for obviously Mark Ingram with you guys and Julio Jones for the Falcons. So definitely no complaints in that aspect.
Yeah, I think you guys have the better player out of those two.
Yeah, that's all right.
How about we
trade
the Eagle for Julio?
Here we go. I was going to pull back USC and try to get you Reggie Bush and the Matt Leiner, but I'm not going to go that route. But, you know, it's all good. Oh, man. Good stuff. We got 5 minutes left in the show, Rob. But let's talk about some interesting things here because National Signing Day is tomorrow. You know, we're going to be excited about what's going on with this particular crop of people. And it's interesting because we're going to have to do some research for the next show to figure out a lot of these number one recruits, how they actually, kind of track their status and where they are in the NFL. Because, you know, I don't know if you remember, you know, where Andrew Luck was. I think it was he like the second-rated quarterback or something like that? I don't think he was a top quarterback. And to see how he's progressed and became, you know, obviously a high pick, and same thing with, you know, RG3 or certain guys that just kind of elevate, because a lot of times, you know, these recruiting services put stars and vice versa, and it's hard to evaluate how these guys actually play out, you know, when their college careers are over. So, you know, I just think it's interesting. And this is just me kind of making a random statement, Rob, so I'm not really going anywhere with that, but I'm just kind of curious as far as it is interesting to see all these different services and who's in the rated number one and Robert's in the Michi's number one guy. You know, what's going to happen with him? Is he going to be certain players, you know, are going to do well, you know, like Javate, Clowney from South Carolina. This guy's going to do some things, obviously, but it is very interesting to see the progression of certain guys.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Andrew Luck here, and I clearly remember this. Andrew Luck was rated by Rivals as the 10th best QB his senior year coming out of high school. And
wow.
This guy worked his way up to being the number one pick in the draft. Yeah, he was the 10th, rated the number 10 QB in his draft class, and which was incredible. And
wow.
Some guys, you know, Matthew Stafford, when he came out, I mean, this kid was the number one pick. He was a number one QB in the country coming out of Dallas,
mm-hmm.
And then he wound up being a number one pick. You know, Matt Barkley was a number one quarterback in the country.
Quarterback, yeah.
If he would have came out last year, he possibly would have been in the top five in the draft. His stock looked like it's dropped a little bit, but he was number one as a high school senior coming out of high school as well, going into college. So, you know, it goes to show you, you know, sometimes, you know, you still keep that status, but you have to work hard to stay at that level in some cases. So it doesn't necessarily mean just because you're the number one QB coming out of high school, you're going to be the number one pick in the draft.
That is true. It's just interesting to see, like I said, how certain players are rated. And, you know, like I said, that's just great, 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 you know, if you remember that, Rob, because like you said, the 10th rated quarterback and to see him progress. We got about 10
minutes. I think one of the benefits that Andrew Luck had is I think he is one of the kind of thing where he went to the right situation. I mean, you either love or hate Jim Harbaugh, but he's a heck of a QB coach. And I think, you know, Andrew Luck went to a situation where he got some great coaching, too.
Gotcha. Real quick, as I mentioned, we got about 2 minutes left in the show. I do want to make a quick comment. We've been so focused on the Super Bowl and other things, we didn't get a chance to talk about a big trade that popped up, and that's with the Upton brothers going to the Braves. We got the up and away outfield, BJ and Justin Upton actually going to the Atlanta Braves. This is exciting for us as a Braves fan. I think this is finally a big step for us to make that move to the World Series. We got to fight against the Nationals, but I'm very excited about this move, Rob. I don't know if you want to comment on this. We got about a minute or so left as I set the stage for next week as well.
Well, my comment is a question, actually, to you. Where do you think this puts the Braves in the National League?
Like I said, number one, baby, I think this is a good move. We're going to be right there with the Nationals, definitely.
Okay. So who do you think wins the National League?
Braves.
What about the Giants? You got to forget the Giants, they're the World Series champions here.
Braves.
So you think the Nationals and the Braves are competing, but the Giants won't be in it?
Giants are probably number 13, but, you know, I think the Braves made significant moves because we always had pitching. We needed that offense to kind of lift us up, so this is a big move. So I'm going Braves all the way. I may be a homer, Braves all the way.
All right. You heard it here first. Andre's picking the Braves all the way to win a National League. The World Series, too, or just the National League?
World Series, everything, all the way.
Oh, there you have it. 12 man sports listeners, we hope you all join us on next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m.